I've studied the form of comics intimately. I believe comics are our last link to an ancient way of passing on history. The Egyptians drew on walls. Countries all over the world still pass on knowledge through pictorial forms. I believe comics are a form of history that someone somewhere felt or experienced. Characters in comics are often attributed special powers, invisibility, X-ray vision, things of that sort. It's an exaggeration of the truth. Maybe it's based on something as simple as instinct. It's hard for many to believe there are extraordinary things inside themselves as well as others. I hope you can keep an open mind.
What I am questioning is your belief that you are something more than human.
And yet, it is true.
Hello, Now Playing listeners. It's co-host Stuart here, wishing you happy 2019. The new year is typically a time when folks strive to make improvement in their lives, adopt some new personal habits. I want to encourage everyone out there to make supporting independent podcasting a resolution in 2019. And you can do that by becoming a Now Playing donor or patron. I know, sounds a little weird. I felt very weird about making a commitment to Now Playing exactly 10 years ago when I joined my oldest friend Arnie for a discussion of all the films in the Friday the 13th franchise, as if anyone would want to hear that. Or so I thought. Honestly, I had no idea how transformative that commitment and those shows would be, but they evolved into a decade of podcasting about all sorts of movies, and I got to talk to people all over the world. What I've appreciated most about that journey is being able to say whatever it is I wanted to about a film without compromising my opinion to cater to corporate sponsorship. All I ever want to do is connect to folks who love watching movies as much as I do. I don't want to sell them products. I don't want to plug the next would-be blockbuster with empty praise. But because listeners like you who have dug into their pockets and joined the Now Playing team, I have been able to do that for 10 years. And I'll admit, sometimes when the films are really bad, I just need you guys there to help process the trauma. That's certainly been the case many times in our latest retrospective of thrillers made by writer-director M. Night Shyamalan. You know, for a guy who started out being hyped as the second coming of Hitchcock and Spielberg, Night sure has made some of the craziest, most brazenly stupid films ever to come out of the Hollywood studio system. But maybe not anymore. Fortunately for Night, his luck has turned, and we are now at the point in the retrospective where he's having box office success again. Take a listen to a clip of our review of Split, Night's $300 million blockbuster about a kidnapper with multiple personalities. I'll explain how you can hear our entire show immediately afterward.
What I didn't really remember from the first viewing is that they're food. Because Dennis wants to get a little frisky, and Patricia says, no, he's not to touch you. You're going to be food for the beast.
Well, yeah, and if Dennis does assault them, then they're no longer worthy of the beast, as we'll find out.
Yeah, we have one scene when the first girl, all three girls will make their attempt to escape. Claire is the first one. She's the feistiest, the birthday girl. She finds in the ceiling a grate that opens up into ductwork that looks like it'll lead somewhere, and it only leads her to a dead end and to a locker. She's quickly captured, and we worry, you know, this guy is like, your sweater is dirty, take it off, and skirts and shirts have to go. I'm like, oh, this is going to turn into sexual assault. We're actually very relieved. For a little bit, we perceive Patricia as a help because she steps in and says, no, these girls aren't here for that. They're here for another purpose. Notice all the characters are wearing yellow. We know that Knight loves his color theory. We saw in Sixth Sense that he dribbled red in there in order to signify contact with the ghost realm. Yellow was the protective color in the village. And it's also been known that in art theory and such. I mean, that's not just something Knight came up with. You will oftentimes see yellow used in that way. The sun, I think it's just, it goes along with that idea of healing.
I kept writing it down. I'm like, oh, there's yellow flowers and Dennis has a yellow handkerchief and Hedwig has yellow on his coat, but maybe this means something to M. Night. It never means anything in this film.
They're all looking for protection. And again, yellow is a color that can mean that when you study color theory. You have to realize the motivation for all these characters, even the terrible things that they do, is that they're just trying to protect themselves. And
themselves as a collective. So there's no true enemy here except the Beast. Ultimately, once we realize that sexual assault is off the table, we don't fear any of the personalities that come. We're only waiting in anticipation of the one that no one has seen.
Except Patricia and Dennis are the heavies. They're the goons. You know, what a majority of this movie is these girls attempting to escape, getting in the ceiling and whatnot. And if they could get out, Hedwig might be able to be fooled into letting them go. He's going to say he has a window.
I do like those moments that he has with Casey. Yeah, can you show me your room? Oh, come on. When he dances for Casey, bravo. Like, best scene in this film. Like, there's some of that crazy M. Night still in this movie. But yeah, I like that relationship Casey has with Hedwig. She's trying to play him, but she's also sympathetic. There is something off about her, and we'll find out throughout the film, but I'm always wondering what is going on with her. Why is she so passive when the other ones are so active?
Yeah, she tries to get out by seduction. She allows this little boy to have his first kiss, and she is going along flirtatiously. She is using sex. The other two girls are using aggression. When we see Marcia trying to get away in the kitchen, she picks up a chair and whacks Patricia. And again, she knows the door is locked, and yet she somehow thinks that she can find some door somewhere that will let her out into safety. But no, of course not. They're eventually all separated. But yes, what is interesting is that we have the two popular girls who believe in fighting, and then we have this other girl, she is the one that wasn't even supposed to be invited to the party, who seems to resent them for having that fighting spirit, who thinks that they're very naive and thinking that they can win against an aggressor. We will know, as it's dribbled out through her flashbacks, how she came to feel so helpless in victimization.
I got that almost from the very first flashback, though, the first time I watched it. When you see the bearded guy and everything calling to Casey, I'm like, oh boy, I do not want this movie to go deep into a description of young child molestation.
Oh, when they go to play animals in the woods, that was, to me, I'm like, I got it. We don't need to see that scene.
This is a PG-13 movie. It's not R. They don't show any nudity. They don't show anything too exploitive.
No, what they do to your mind, yeah, you always imagine something worse in your mind, so oof.
Yeah, and playing animals, this is in parallel to a character who is becoming an animal. I mean, we will ultimately see that she kind of agrees and is spared because she has the same mentality as our main character, this Beast character. She's already lived with a Beast. That one is coming is nothing new to her.
And the appeasement through seduction, if you've got a molester who's going to beat you and scar you and cut you if you resist, I hate to say it, but it could almost be self-preservation to go along with it.
But one of the flashbacks, she pulls a shotgun. Was it not loaded? Like, it's bothersome because this is a M. Night B movie about a guy who's becoming an indestructible serial killer. And now you want to get into some deep psychology about child molestation. Just not the appropriate place for that. So I have troubles once that's kind of revealed and seeing how it's treated in this film. Not the place for that kind of story.
Midnight movies do this often. I feel like,
here's the thing with midnight movies. I read from M. Night, he likes to take B movies and turn them into A movies. Thanks, M. Night.
Yeah.
With midnight movies, there is some kind of joy because they know that they're sleazy and exploitive and just B midnight movies. M. Night thinks he's doing something higher. This is a higher art, and I just don't think that's what he's really making.
I don't have a problem with it here, and that's not words I usually say about M. Night. I usually always have a problem with whatever he's attempting to do artistically. I think it's utilized just enough. You get the idea. There was a cut scene where she actually did try and tell her dad, and we see very clearly that she makes a choice not to do it, because that's kind of going on in your head, is like, the dad's on the hunting trip as well as this uncle. Where was he? Why doesn't he know? And that ultimately, when he's revealed to have died, was he murdered? Did this guy kill the guy in order to, like,
that's what I was wondering,
to get custody and take his prize? You know, he's viewed throughout the movie as someone that is always into the deer and their racks and all of that, so we think of her as a trophy that he might have been collecting. But I think we're legitimately to take that the dad just died of a heart attack. It wasn't foul play.
Yeah, I never thought the father was murdered, but I did think it was rather convenient that the father never found out about this abuse, and then when he did die, the abuser becomes the guardian. It's the scariest thing in this movie, is the because it has a reality to it that's just sickening.
Yeah, here's the trouble. yes, this movie asks more than a traditional B-movie by going to sexual predators and letting us really think of this in terms of our main character who we want to see survive and triumph, who we believe in seeing all these stories about hunting, that she is needing to pick up that rifle and to kill the aggressor, that ultimately this will be a story. I truly believe, until I thought about the fact that I knew James McAvoy was in Glass, that she would have to take out this guy in order to heal. But this movie will not be about her healing.
It's not about healing at all. Yes. Yeah.
In fact, it is about identifying with a victim mentality that people that have been injured have the power to do it to others. And that is what is dicey. The truth of the matter is, the mentally ill are oftentimes more the victims of violence than the perpetrators. But the movies like to paint the other story because it's such easy writing. It's so convenient to say, oh no, if they're crazy, they're going to get you. And that's their motive, that they're crazy.
And this is what I said back with Hereditary. I was kind of glad that it wasn't, oh, it's mental illness that's the monster. Because yeah, that is such a trope and it's not an easy thing to deal with. I'm fine with it though in a B movie like that. Again, I'm giving this film the pass with the multiple personality disorders, but I think there are some troubling implications if you try to look deeper, if you try looking for that A-movie material that M. Night says he's bringing.
Yeah, I don't see A-movie material here. I'm just going with the trope of, yeah, the crazy. But you know what I thought I would be seeing is the personalities fighting against each other. The good personalities trying to save the girls, the bad personalities trying to keep them there. We never really get any of the good personalities coming out. At no point, and this would be a good tease, I would think, is to have the real Barry show up and be like, hey, I'm going to help get you out. And then at the last minute, Dennis shows up or something.
That is my question, because Karen keeps getting these emails from Barry saying, I need an urgent appointment. Is he getting out for like 3 seconds to be able to send the email? And like Dennis comes back and he checks the email outbox to see what was sent. And is like, dang it, Barry, now I got to go pretend to be you again.
I guess so. Yeah, they are fighting back, but only through email. They are not trying to help the girls. They don't have the power to do so. The way I take it is the Horde is in control. There's no way that the other 20 personalities can enact any kind of aid for these women that are being held in captivity. They are at the mercy because of Hedwig, really. Hedwig keeps the light on him. He has that power, and he is in cahoots with the two people that believe in his beast and want to see that beast come into power. And so, yeah, there are too many appointments with Karen for Karen to figure it out. She's seen the news. She knows about girl abductions. She knows his history. She believes that the guy who has a history of making girls dance naked and has this potential to abduct them is the one impersonating Barry. It takes her an awfully long time to get in that cab and go see for herself.
This movie's longer than most of M. Night's.
It's his longest one. It's almost 2 hours.
Yeah, and I think he would have been better off at his 90-minute running time. I remember when I first watched this movie, I did watch those deleted scenes. You spurred the memory of that with the romantic bits with Karen, but I think cutting even a little bit more Karen might have been the right way to go and getting a bit more on with it. But I still like the tension. He is keeping tension every scene in this catacomb. And I'm wondering, where are they? There's a kitchen, there's piping and wiring, they're underground.
There's a big wrought iron gate out in front of the place. Yeah, is this an abandoned mansion that he took over? What is this?
As I've already stated, Now Playing has lasted so long and been so free to dispense honest opinion because we have financial donors. And we want to reward that. If you can become a gold level donor right now, you are going to receive 11 exclusive shows that chronicle the career highs of M. Night Shyamalan. Those include Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs was a big hit, The Visit, Split, Glass. And yeah, we're going to tackle those epic lows as well, which frankly are just as much fun to deconstruct. The Village, Lady in the Water, The Happening, Last Airbender, After Earth, really fascinating fiascos. It's our way of saying thank you for making independent podcasting a priority in 2019. Plus, gold level donors are going to get the 5 silver level shows we put out last Halloween. And those were dedicated to Dario Argento, his classic witch trilogy, and that really is centered around Suspiria. And you can upgrade to the platinum level, get those 16 shows, plus 3 additional Jamie Lee Curtis horror movies, John Carpenter's The Fog, Terror Train, and the original prom night. Now, hopefully I've inspired you. You understand how important this is. I sense you're ready to make that commitment. You're wondering, how can you start listening to all this exclusive content? I'll tell you. Head to our website. That's nowplayingpodcast.com. Click the banner at the top of the page. It's going to break down for you all the different levels of patronage. What is silver level? What is gold level? Gold and platinum are how you're going to get M. Night Shyamalan. But follow those instructions and you're going to be making a big impact on our show and helping to underwrite another full year's worth of content. I am eternally grateful for all of those that are able to donate. We will be celebrating all 2019 with new shows, new series, returns of favorites. Thank you so much for your support. I will talk to you on Tuesday and hopefully very soon with our exclusive donor content. Thanks.
It has begun. Tell me something, David. When you woke up this morning, was it still there? The sadness?
No.
I think this is where we shake hands.
Your support helps keep Now Playing on the air.
You made that decision, and I find that very, very interesting. Now all I need is your credit card number.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
I'm telling on you.
I'll tell you something. And you can tell me if I'm lying or not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like a test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with, and this podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created the film analyzed herein.
You should never do anything like this. You know that, right?
Yeah.
What do you do if something bad happens?
Get Mom.
All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review, and no infringement is intended.
It is more dramatic than that. They are what they believe they are.
The brain has learned to defend itself.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of and may not be used without the express written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
You can't let bad things happen to good people, right? That's your code, right? That's the hero's code.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2019, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
I hope this makes you feel calm. You will be in the presence of something greater.